Welcome to sermons from St. John's Lutheran Church of Oaks, North Dakota. At St. John's Lutheran Church, we are built on the rock, and that rock is Christ. We are a cross-focused congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been our privilege to share the unchanging gospel with Oaks and the surrounding area for over 100 years. This sermon was preached for Maundy Thursday and is based on Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. The Old Testament reading for Holy Thursday is from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." That portion of God's holy word for consideration this evening is our Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 12, with special emphasis on verses 12 and 13, which read as follows. "For thus saith the Lord, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Thus far the scriptures. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. These are words of promise given through the prophet Moses in the Old Testament to Israel as they suffered under slavery. The yoke of Pharaoh was heavy. Their burden was hard. And God promised to deliver them. And so if you remember your Sunday school stories, you will remember that God sent Moses to demand that Israel be let go. And he did. And Pharaoh did not do it, did he? And so God sent Moses and Aaron to make 10 plagues on Israel. This was the 10th. And it was the death of all the firstborn. God himself would come and destroy the firstborn of all of Egypt, both human being and beast. But he promised to spare his people. He ordered them to take a lamb, an unblemished male, 1 year old, on the 10th of the first month, Nisan, not the car, but the Jewish month that you probably don't care to know that, but anyways, on the 10th, and you were supposed to take the lamb into your house, and you were supposed to live with it for 4 days, and then you were supposed to kill it. You're supposed to drain out all its blood, slaughter it at twilight, then roast it whole without cleaning it, all of its inner parts still intact. You were to eat it, make unleavened bread, and eat bitter herbs, and be ready to go. Because that very night, God delivered his people. Now, when he delivered his people, he struck down the firstborn of Egypt, the firstborn of the animals, but he passed over his people. That's where we get the name Passover. Well, how did he pass over his people? He asked them to take the blood of the lambs and smear it on the lintels. That's the two side posts in a mud or a brick building that keep the brick doorway from collapsing in, and the lintel, which goes over the top. Wait a minute, I said that wrong. Well, the doorposts are on the side and the lintels on the top. Yeah, there we go. And you smeared the blood on those three places. And the blood marked that house as someone who listened to God and believed him. But it did show God that the heart trusted in him. And so God, by blood, passed over his people. Spared them from harm. They were not affected by this great plague. They were not struck down. Blood shows up a lot in the Bible. After they go out into the wilderness, Moses is commanded to take sacrifices, the shedding of blood for various offenses and for atonement. Jesus has his blood shed, first in his circumcision, but later on the cross when he's stabbed in the side and blood and water comes out, but also before that with the great torture he experienced that tore his flesh and caused his blood to fall. This Passover was meant for us to remind us and point forward for us to the sacrifice of Christ. 1,500 years after the Exodus, just about, our Lord would be put to death. And in so doing, he would earn for us forgiveness and life and salvation. Now, this Passover, God says, was supposed to be commemorated as a perpetual ordinance every year on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, the first month of the year. They were supposed to, in a similar way, kill the lamb. They were supposed to eat the bitter herbs. They were supposed to eat the unleavened bread. And in so doing, they were supposed to remember how God had delivered them. But there was something else that was forgotten. It also was supposed to remind how God would deliver not just them, but indeed the whole world. Passover, we don't celebrate anymore. Indeed, it's inappropriate for Christians to do so because we have something better than Passover. We have the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, the Eucharist. We call it a lot of things. This supper Jesus instituted at a Passover meal. He was observing the command that he had given in the Old Testament. And at that meal, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Similarly, he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood." The disciples might have been a little confused. "What are you talking about, Jesus?" But it all becomes very clear when the next day he is crucified and sheds his blood. You see, God still uses blood, but it wasn't the blood of sheep and goats that he cared about. It was the blood of his Son. And when Jesus goes to Calvary and bleeds and dies, his blood is poured out to atone for the sins of the world, your sins and mine. It covers them up, washes them clean, blots them out forever. And that same blood, that blood which was shed for our forgiveness, is what we receive in the Lord's Supper. When we partake of the cup, we drink the very blood of Christ. When we take the bread, we have his very body. And just like how the angel of death passed over the houses of the Israelites, when the doorposts and the lintels of your heart are marked with the blood of Christ, well, he passes over his destruction of us as well. No longer are we sinners slated for destruction in his justice. What are we? We're righteous. We're accounted as holy. We move from the column of those who should be destroyed and cast into hell and into the column of those who are redeemed and sanctified, those who have been made children of God. This does not happen without the shedding of blood. If Christ had not died, if he had not given up his life, then the blood that we talk about today would do us no good. But Christ has done this.
You see, in the blood is life. This is what the Old Testament says. This is why the Old Testament people of God were forbidden from eating blood. The blood had this life in it, the nephesh, the soul, the animating principle, and it belonged to God. This is why God demanded that when blood was shed, blood would need to be shed for it. Capital punishment was prescribed in the Old Testament for this reason. The blood is life. And the blood is a reminder that the blood of Christ is the thing that we need to atone for us. And this has been done. And so now we receive that blood, which is our life. We partake of the death, which is our life. And now we have forgiveness from sins. We have freedom from death. And instead of these things, we have redemption and life that lasts abundantly unto everlasting eons. When we take the Lord's Supper, we receive his body and blood, we are united with him, communing with him in the most personal of ways, because we receive that very instrument that Jesus himself gave into death to earn us salvation. And this unites us to him. It binds us together evermore, the believer and the Savior. It helps us bind ourselves together in the unity of the church and makes manifest the unity we confess as we approach the altar, all of us united in the same doctrine and confession. The Lord's Supper, then, is the final fulfillment of that ritual eating that was given in the Old Testament. That is to say, what was done in ancient times to recall the work of God was transformed by Christ. And now he has a meal wherein he gives himself to us. And bread and wine to grant us life and forgiveness and salvation. That is to say, Jesus actually does with his blood what the blood of lambs in the Old Testament could only hint at. He does away with sin. He removes God's wrath, and he reconciles us to our Father in heaven. He makes us righteous, free from the condemnation of God, and makes us fit for his Father's kingdom. Now, this is a very important thing, this blood of Jesus. It was shed to wash away our sins. It is drunk so that we receive all of the Lord's benefits. And without this blood being shed on our behalf, well, we would still be under the rule of death. But because it has been shed and given to us, we are now righteous and fit for our Father's kingdom, not because of what we do, but by what Jesus has done for us. Blood shed for forgiveness and righteousness isn't our blood, nor is it blood that we shed on our behalf. It never really has been. This was blood shed by God, by his own design, by his own purpose. And all that remains for us to do then is to have faith, to simply trust and believe our Lord Jesus, believe that he's done everything that we need to be saved, trust that his blood was given for our benefit. As Luther reminds us in the Catechism, we simply need to trust these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And as he further notes, the for you requires that all of us believe. There is no shedding of blood in the abstract. You can't sprinkle blood on things as a concept that is an abstraction or made ideal. When blood is shed, it is specific and real. And just like when you go to the store and you get a steak, you don't eat an abstract idea of a steak. You eat an actual steak. When blood is shed, it is real, actual blood. The real, actual, everlasting body and blood of our Lord Jesus were given into death for our salvation, and are given to us now to make us receive that very salvation. You see, blood has long been used for God's people to be redeemed. It's long hinted at salvation. And even though we no longer kill lambs or celebrate the Passover sacrifice, being went away because Jesus shed his blood once and for all, we must not fall into the error of thinking that blood has nothing to do with us anymore. We are blood-soaked people. The blood of Christ covers our sins, washes us clean, makes us righteous, forgives us, and gives us everlasting salvation. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
If you like what you heard, check out our website, stjohnsoaks.org. That's OAKES. or visit us for services at 9 a.m. each week. Feel free to email us at stjohnsoaks@gmail.com. God bless you, and we look forward to having you enjoy our messages again next week.